Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some Sadducees came forward, the ones who claim there is no resurrection, to pose this problem to Jesus. Master, Moses prescribed that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife and no child, the brother should marry the widow and raise posterity to his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died childless. And next, the second brother married the widow, and then the third, and so on. All seven died without leaving her any children. Finally, the widow herself died. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be? Remember that all seven married her. Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those judged worthy of a place in the age to come and the resurrection from the dead do not. They become like angels and are no longer liable to death. Sons of the resurrection, they are sons of God." Moses in the passage about the burning bush showed that the dead rise again when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, and all are alive in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Quite a bit different to the parables that we've been used to, right? Yeah? Sure. Quite a bit different, very interesting, posturing and jockeying for a position. Last week, I invited you to reflect on the question of Zacchaeus going out on a limb to encounter God. When have I gone out on a limb, and in what ways am I open to really going out on a limb to know God? The gospel provides a powerful challenge for that. We do have to go out on a limb to acknowledge the gospel today. We could argue intellectually in favor of a life hereafter, and we could present a lot of arguments. Others could present arguments against. But obviously, one of the greatest arguments in favor of the life to come would be those who have witnessed to that reality, not with their words, but by their actions. Sometimes, with their own lives, they are the best argument. We had an incident, remember, 2 years ago. Remember when ISIS took those 21 people? And they lined them up, and one by one they asked them to profess their faith, that if they were Christian, and then shot them one by one. The last one at the very end of that group, you remember what happened? Said, "I'm not a Christian, but I'm with them for sure." He was so touched by the faith of these people. The gospel brings about a great little challenge. For us as Catholics, the history of the martyrs, one of the first phases in early Christianity, after Christianity began to get a foothold, first stage in the history of the church was the martyrdom. Folks who were really willing to witness to their faith. They gave witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. One cannot do it of their own volition. Only in the Spirit can we do it. What a great example in the first reading, the book of Maccabees, the mother and her seven sons. And all seven declared they knew exactly where they were going. "This life is transitory," they said. "Where we are going, that's what's really important." It's a pretty powerful influence in the life of an individual. As we begin the month of November, our word for the month is leadership. And naturally, the question is, what kind of leadership do I provide? Would people know by the way I lead? Would they know what I believe? Would people in your work environment, my work environment, know what I believe? Would people in my family know what I believe by the way I witness when I come and celebrate Eucharist, when I engage with church? Would people know what I believe? What kind of leadership do I provide? Do I lead with courage? Do I lead with conviction? Do people know? Does it make a difference? Leading with courage was particularly important. We see it in the gospel today. Jesus had already come to Jerusalem, and for St. Luke, coming to Jerusalem was so pivotal because that's where the real story was going to unfold. The passion, death, resurrection, and then the hope for all Christians to come to resurrection as well. All of that was going to unfold. Jesus has come into the confines of the city. Immediately after arriving in Jerusalem, he went to the temple. He took over the temple from the traders in the temple. He said, "This place is a place of worship of God, a place for offering sacrifice and for growing in faith in God. Get out of here, the rest of you." It was pretty definitive. And then the scribes and Pharisees approach him and they say, "By what authority are you doing these things?" He said, "I'll tell you, but first answer me this question yourselves." And they couldn't answer. And so now we have the gospel passage coming along. The Sadducees come and approach him. This is another sect, another group of Jewish people. And they ask him what they feel is a rather intriguing question. And superficially, it sounds like an intriguing question. There was this woman who was married to a man. He died. And the law of Moses says, which it did say, his brother should marry her and raise up posterity for her. And so they lengthen out the story. It's a little dramatic. But Jesus didn't find it dramatic in any way. Jesus cut right to the chase and said, folks who enter the kingdom of God, they're not worried about who you're married to or who your best friend is or who is here or who is there. They have a concern to be in the presence of God and to know he will take care of all of the other stuff. He said, on entering the kingdom of God, we become like angels and we're concerned not with peripheral stuff. Peripheral. He was extremely courageous. Just like the sons in the first reading from Maccabees, the courage. Do I have courage of my convictions? Courage is such an important virtue. Because without courage, one cannot engage the other virtues with any measure of consistency. What the world needs is not heroism. What the world needs is courage. Ordinary courage among people. We see a great deal of this in the lives of many everyday people. We see it in the lives of some significant people that we've come to know. Some significant figures who are worldwide and world known. But in the lives of some very everyday persons in our own parish community who endure suffering and hardship and adversity and how they manage in the face of that. Courage is not so much about climbing mountains as accepting adversity or even defeat sometimes without losing heart, but knowing where we are going. The question that they pose to Jesus is rather intriguing. Did you notice the first line of the gospel? The Sadducees, the people who do not believe in resurrection. They're asking him a question about resurrection, and it begs the question, Why are they bothering to ask him a question about resurrection when they just don't believe in resurrection? It was an indictment of themselves, and Jesus looked at them and saw right through it. And then answered, saying, hey, you're concerning yourselves about peripheral stuff in the world, and that becomes your agenda. It's of no importance in relationship to the kingdom. Every Sunday, we come together here, and in our profession of faith, we say, we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Do we believe it? Do we act as if we believe it? Do we trust it? It makes a huge difference. Belief in an afterlife is one of the most fundamental beliefs in the Christian tradition. Without it, our lives on earth are essentially a journey to nowhere, absolutely nowhere. Without that fundamental belief in a life hereafter, this is it. All we accumulate, all that we do, and all that we accomplish here, nothing more. Wouldn't that be tragic? Just to be limited by those perspectives. Jesus invites the Sadducees who don't believe in a resurrection, hey, go deeper. Don't be concerned about peripheral stuff. Be concerned about what really is important. Hope is pretty important. Hope is a vital part of life. What food does for the body, hope does for the spirit. We spend a great deal of our lives waiting, hoping, longing for one thing or another. But the truth is, this world can never fulfill that longing. St. Augustine put it so well, our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they shall never rest until they rest in thee. There will always be that yearning or longing for something else. Only in God do we find peace. God has made us not for death, but for eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him might not perish, but may have eternal life. It's an invitation to go out on a limb. Maybe this week we might go out on a limb and ask ourselves the question of the gospel. How much of my life is tied up in peripheral stuff? Stuff that is really not important. And conversely, how much of my life is really concerned with something that is hereafter?